Welcome to the I Have ADHD podcast, where it's all about education, encouragement, and coaching for adults with ADHD. I'm your host, Kristen Carter, and I have ADHD. Let's chat about the frustrations, humor, and challenges of adulting, relationships, working, and achieving with this neurodevelopmental disorder. I'll help you understand your unique brain, unlock your potential, and move from point A to point B. Hey, what's up? This is Kristen Carter, and you are listening to the I Have ADHD podcast. I am medicated. I am caffeinated. I am regulated. I'm talking really fast. I'm ready to roll. Glad that you're here. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show. If you're new around here, I do not usually sound like this. Winter got me. It got me real good. And I've been in bed for the last 5 days. I pulled myself out of bed to teach a class today in my coaching program and to record this intro because I love my clients and I love you. And so I'm only doing the bare minimum right now. If you are also in the dead of winter and you are also feeling under the weather, gosh, solidarity, it is the worst. And it seems to drag on forever. So my goodness, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. If you have ADHD or you're curious about ADHD, this is the place to be. And normally I'm very peppy and fun, but today I just, this is the best we got. This is the best that we can do. Today, I've got an amazing coaching call for you on the topic of self-trust. And the reason that I wanted to share it with you is because I know that you struggle with self-trust. I know that self-trust is something that's very difficult for those of us with ADHD, and I want to help you with it. And so I'm sharing this coaching call. I coach two of my clients. I adore both of these people, and I know that they are going to help you to understand yourself better and the different parts of yourself that just need a little bit of support in the area of self-trust. And I hope this changes your life. Please enjoy. Welcome to your coaching call. This is a call on self-trust. For some of you, your parents did build self-trust. You had caregivers who were capable of helping you to build self-trust, but society eroded it. Growing up as ADHD in a neurotypical world, around people who look at you like, why are you doing it that way? What is your problem? Why are you always late? Why are you always loud? Why are you thinking outside of the box? That has contributed for sure to your inability to trust yourself. So it might not necessarily be, you may have gone through that beautiful developmental process with your family of origin, and that's lovely, but you may struggle with self-trust because of a toxic boss or because of a really mean teacher or because of like a friend who is really judgmental, right? So we know that the research says that children with ADHD are given corrective feedback so much more than a neurotypical person. Okay. So that in itself may have really interrupted your ability to build self-trust. That is completely valid. So it could be a combination of the two. It could be like, yeah, my family wasn't really like helpful in that area. And I grew up as ADHD in a neurotypical world. So it could be a combination. Or it could just be growing up neurodivergent in a neurotypical world. That is enough. And I wish I had remembered to say that front and center yesterday, is that us being different, us being neurodivergent, us being around people who look at us like, you are so weird, what are you doing? That's enough. The inner voice that we have is what we're going to be working on changing throughout this course. Okay? That inner critic, that inner voice, it's like, you're doing it wrong. You shouldn't have done that. I can't believe you. You're so unreliable that you're so little. That horrible voice, building self-trust is about changing the way that we're going to talk to ourselves. Okay. It's like too much, not enough. You're too much and you're not enough. Hello. Can I get an amen to that? Right? Like that's what our inner voice is always wanting to say. You're too much. You're also not enough. There's no way to like do it right with our inner critic. And so that's what we're really going to be working on, whether that was established by our parents, by society, by a teacher, by a friend. What we do as children is we make these agreements unknowingly and we say, oh yeah, they're probably right about me. Oh yeah, that person's probably right about me. That's most common with families of origin, with parents, but it can also happen with like an aunt who says some flippant comment. And all of a sudden you're unknowingly making this agreement at age 10, like, yeah, I am too talkative. And so then my inner critic says, you're too talkative. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear you. Right? Or maybe a teacher says, you just don't care enough. You would do better if you cared. And so then I make this agreement, because as a child, again, we're agreeing with our caregivers. We're agreeing. We're saying like, oh yeah, that's probably true. As a child, you don't know any better, which is why in this course, we're stepping out of childhood and into adulthood saying, I don't agree with that voice anymore. Okay. I don't agree with that voice anymore. I no longer am going to agree with that voice. Now, the work that we did in the first class, the reason why we had to look at why we don't have self-trust is because we have to look at why is that voice there in the first place and know that it's not just because I'm a flawed human. We think it's our voice. It's not actually our voice. It's our mom's voice, or it's our teacher's voice, or it's our coach's voice from soccer in third grade. Okay. Right. So we have to identify where is this coming from so that we can say, I no longer agree with that. I know I'm not going to participate with that anymore. All right. So that's what this deep, deep, deep work is about. Listen, if you are in this space, you're doing deep work. I just had a coaching call with my coach. And I was like, you know, I think what we really should be doing right now is just talking about like organizing our planners and our journals for the new year and just like doing this cute stuff that feels good. Like, let's all just bedazzle the planner instead of looking at why we don't have self-trust. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was in some drama about that, but I know what you're here for. You're here for the deep stuff. And so that's what we're doing. So what we're going to do today is I would love to coach you if you are struggling with self-trust. Raise your hand. If you're struggling with self-trust, what I'm going to do today is coach you. Now, we haven't gotten a lot of tools yet, right? We've only done one class. That's okay. I'm still going to give you as much of myself as I can. And you and I will have a face-to-face conversation and I will model for you what it might look like to trust yourself. Okay. All right. I am going to go to Shannon first and then Grace, I'm going to go to you after. Okay. Now, I know there's a lot of people on the call here and I know that there can sometimes be this urgency of like, I need to be coached. I need to be the one being coached. But I promise you, we all struggle with the same stuff. Whatever conversation I have with Shannon, you are going to be able to glean from that. So I really encourage you to look at the ways that you identify with Shannon. I'm going to ask you to start your video. Oh, there you go. Just a second. Oh my gosh, it's so good to see your face. I want you to really, really pay attention to where do I identify with this? How can I make sure to apply this coaching to my own life? When I ask Shannon a question, I encourage you to really ask yourself that question. Okay. Hey. Oh man, it's good to see you.
Great to see you, Kristen.
How are you?
I'm okay. So I joined the self-trust call yesterday, which was so helpful. I feel like I had really checked out of focus for a while. I was just like struggling, but yeah. I'm actually on leave from work from now to the end of March. I feel like I finally got to a place where I was like, I'm running myself to the ground. I'm struggling. I was able to recognize that, which I'm really like happy. And I'm extremely grateful that I'm even able to have this leave and that I have something to come back to in April. Super grateful for that. But with this being 3 months, 90 days, I think I have a lot of anxiety around how to make the best use of this time. I know that I really want to get started on the How to Rest workbook because I avoided that for forever because I didn't think I needed it. But
so ironic.
I have all these things swirling in my head around like wanting to rest, also wanting to connect with activities that I enjoy, like dancing, like exercise, because just like the way my ADHD works, I forget that things help me and then I just completely stop doing them all.
Yeah.
And then there's also an added layer of, is this the work that I'm doing right now? Is this even the work that I want to do? Is this something that I want to continue doing? And so I'm like, how do I juggle all of those things so that when March 30th rolls around, I don't feel like, oh shit, I wasted 3 months and now I'm just jumping back into the same situation that I was in before. I guess I just want to trust that I'm doing the things that I should be doing with this time.
Yeah. When you think about like, what should I be doing? And like the countdown is on. I felt, what do you feel when you say, when you express that? Like the countdown is on.
A little is panicked. That,
yeah.
Me yeah, too. Rushed.
Yeah. Pressure maybe.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, 3 months is a really long time. And then I'm like, it's actually not. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be done.
Yeah. And then how do you feel when you think, I really want to make the most of this time?
The pressure.
Yep. What is your primary, like if you can get still and think through like, why did you take time off? Why did you take this leave?
I took it because I was waking up every day wondering, why can't I try harder? Why am I not getting these things done on time? Why am I so unhappy? And I feel like I was just waking up every morning trying to push past it. Like, let me feel the anxiety and then get it done. Let me feel scared. And then, but I was doing that every single day. And I realized that it just wasn't sustainable. Yeah. Lots of panic, lots of like anxiety attacks. And I could just tell that there was no way for me to get better while also staying working every day.
Yep. What does get better mean to you?
That's a good question. I think feeling more regulated, just like not being so afraid of emotion and like avoidance. I spent a lot of time just in avoidance. And so I think feeling better would be me not running to avoidance all of the time. But I think it also looks like me prioritizing the things that I care about and not just the things that other people want me to do.
Okay. What do you care about?
I learned that I actually care about education. I was able to work with some college students while I was working, and I kind of got in trouble for the amount of time that I was spending on that, but I just really enjoyed like the teaching, the mentorship of it. But I also really enjoy moving my body and just being active. But I forget that so quickly. Like as soon as a hard week rolls around, I'm like, oh, the last thing I want to do is work out. The last thing I want to do is dance, even though I literally always feel better every time I do those things.
Yeah. And what do other people want you to care about? So you kind of made this contrast, like what I care about versus what other people. When you say that, like what would go in that category?
A lot of it is work related. So doing things very quickly, doing things as soon as I'm told to do them, not like, you know, you don't have a week to think about this. Just execute it. Just ask the person. Just I work really slowly, but I'm in a really fast paced job. I'm basically working somewhere that I should not be working.
How does that feel when you express that?
Awful.
Why?
Yeah. Because I wake up every day feeling like I'm not doing enough, like I'm not good enough. It's created a lot of like self-worth issues.
What does it feel to like solidly say, I'm working in an environment that's not suited for me? Have you really like sat with that, or has it been more like, yeah, I'm probably not in the right spot, but like, oh, well.
I think I'm there.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm like, it doesn't work for me, but I could make it work for me.
Why?
Yeah.
Why are we going to make it work for us? Like, what do you think is behind that? Because that's just you trying to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing.
I think someone said denial. I think it is denial. I think, I mean, I've always been told that I'm this smart person, that I could figure everything out.
Sure.
I'm at a company that I enjoy being at. And yeah. I am making a salary that I enjoy making.
Yeah, money does not suck.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just in this place of, if I really sit and admit to myself that this isn't the job for me, then I really have to do the work to figure out what does work for me. And that feels terrifying. Yeah.
So we're choosing between, we don't have to choose anything right now. But mm-hmm. in that kind of mental gymnastics, we're choosing between the discomfort of working in an environment that's really not suited for your nervous system or like how you prefer to work. Mm-hmm. Like you like the company and all of that, but the demands of the job don't suit like your natural tendencies and personality.
Mm-hmm.
Uncomfortable. And then there's on the other side, the discomfort of if I actually tell myself the truth and really sit with this, I'm terrified of like what I would do next. And so it's just discomfort or discomfort.
Exactly.
Which sucks. And I wish I had a better third option. But I guess what I want to ask you, and again, this doesn't have to change anything about your 90 days, and we're going to circle back around to that. But what mm-hmm. I want to ask you is, which discomfort serves your long-term goal?
I mean, with my long-term goal being like a sane and emotionally adjusted person, mm-hmm. I would definitely say the path of finding something that works for me and doesn't cause so much anxiety.
What if, throwing it out there, you do not have to accept. What if the next 90 days is more about just kind of accepting really not the environment I want to be in long term?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if at the end, like on March 30th, we haven't made any changes necessarily, but you are solid in this isn't the long term place for me?
Mm-hmm.
What does that feel like for you?
It feels a little scary. It feels really scary. Yeah. I think because when I start back on April 1st, I don't want to start back with this dread. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to start back and be like, oh, I'm back. I'm here again. I think in the perfect world, I'd be like, okay, I've got a little more juice and me
to work at a job that I'm not suited for. Yay.
Yeah. Which is not. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to decide anything. You don't have to do anything. Let's just talk about the next 90 days. You mentioned avoidance. And I just really want to bring to like the forefront that the fear, you might spend 90 days trying to avoid fear.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the only quote unquote wrong way to spend your time would be in the avoidance of fear. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I kind of want to wake up every morning like, oh, like it's a new day. What do we do now? Yeah. As opposed to actually like sitting with the fact that I really struggled a lot last year and, you know, wanting to grieve that a little bit. I think I need to make space for some of the negative emotions because I want every day of this time to be so positive and flowery.
Why? Why do you want it to be so positive? What's that about?
Because it's like, I'm not working. Like, what's there to be sad about? You know what I mean?
Okay, let's answer that question.
And I know that there's a lot to be sad about, but I think I have this idea of like, I'm not being a productive person right now, which means that I should be feeling great and I should be feeling empowered to do whatever I want. So if I am waking up and I'm not taking full advantage of that, then it feels like I'm not grateful for the fact that I have the opportunity to do this.
Here's what I know about hard emotions. They take way more emotional, mental, spiritual capacity than we have to give them in our normal everyday. Mm-hmm. The most productive thing you can do, in my opinion, is live in reality and feel those feelings. It's so not a sexy sell. I am so sorry. What would have been so much more fun is like, yeah, let's make like a plan for you to dance. And like, it's going to be just so great. But like, honestly, you could dance every day. You could work out every day. You could move your body. You could connect with other people and you could go back on April 1st. And what will be different?
Mm-hmm. Nothing. Yeah.
What do you think true rest might look like for you in this season?
True rest. I think that's a question I struggle with because when I think of rest, I don't necessarily think about sleeping in or about like staying up super late and watching and like being on my phone because those things actually don't make me feel good. So I think I struggle with that. Like I said, I enjoy being active, but can I consider that rest if I'm like,
yes, you can. You're going to love the how to rest course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I talk a lot in that course about like, especially for those of us who are hyperactive or have a lot of energy, laying flat to rest is usually not what feels best to us. Mm-hmm. It's like active rest, movement, connection, letting our minds wander while our bodies are moving is so restful. So restful. So yes, of course that counts. If you're only productivity over the next 90 days is figuring out what feels restful to you, tapping into some negative emotions, mm-hmm. getting to know yourself and what you want moving forward, how would that feel for you?
Hearing you say it feels really good. I think it takes pressure off of the time, takes pressure off of trying to make it perfect.
Yeah. How can you honor 6 months ago, Shannon? What did she really need? 6 months ago, you who did not have the luxury of this time and space. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me, I'm going to offer up some suggestions. It sounds to me like she needed a good cry. She needed to move slower and to be validated in that. Mm-hmm. She needed time to think and to process. What else do you think she needed?
I think she needed validation that she wasn't lazy, that she wasn't crazy, that she wasn't like imagining how hard all of these things were. in her head that they were actually happening to her. Just the validation that like what's happening is very real and like, I'm not just making it up.
You are not making it up.
Mm-hmm.
You are really smart. You do not like to move fast. You like space. Your body is wired for like expansiveness and being able to take your time and to think and to really work through things in a way without pressure. You're not making it up. You're not making it up. You're not making it up. I think that if that could be the thing, like all I want is to believe myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I go back on April 1st and nothing else has changed except for the fact that I actually believe myself and I'm no longer dismissing, demeaning, like I'm just like, tell me everything. I believe you. I'll take care of
you. I could advocate for myself so much better if I had that mindset. Instead of like, I'm going to take on all of these things because I should be able to do them, I could actually say,
yes.
No, I can do this and this, but I can't do that. And I'm going to need more. Yeah.
Yes. This course is going to be everything combined with the how to rest. Like, let's just start with the bare minimum of like, I'm not wired for a fast-paced environment, so I'm not going to heap on. Like, it sounds like to me, there is some wiggle room as far as like your autonomy within your position. That if you truly leaned into who you are and trusted and believed yourself, I believe me when I say this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say, well, they can do it, so why can't you? But I believe my own capacity. That in itself will give you so much space.
This is huge. Thank you, Kristen.
You're welcome, honey. You're welcome. I adore you.
I love this program. I'm really excited at all of the new people that are here. And I hope that this was helpful to everyone because this is, I feel like it's really setting the tone for the year for me. So I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Keep us updated if you want to. Okay. See ya. If you want to. All right. See ya. Whenever I make a request like that, just always know it's at your own consent. You do not have to ever do anything that I ask. I have chills. That was beautiful. That was really, really beautiful. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. Like, why isn't it more simple? And that's why for the last 2 years, I've been drinking AG1 persistently, pretty much every day. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, and it makes me feel so much better. I've noticed improved focus, better mental clarity, better concentration. And what I just learned about it is that it supports healthy hormone production, which is so important to me now that I'm in perimenopause. I truly do feel so much better. And that's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's just like a really powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. And it has to be simple, right? Because I have ADHD. If it's not simple, I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it. That's just the truth. This is so simple. Now, you all know that for decades, I have reached for the coffee pot the instant that my eyes open. And when I introduced I use the word habit very loosely, the habit of drinking AG1. I've done that later in the day, but to my absolute shock, I've been able to change that. Now I drink AG1 first thing in the morning, which is recommended for optimal nutrient absorption. I literally picture my like gut and my cells just like absorbing all of the goodness first thing in the morning. And I've got to tell you, I do feel a difference. I fill up my shaker with extra cold water. My eyes are not even open yet. I add one scoop of AG1. I shake it up, good to go. It takes me 30 seconds max from start to finish. And I am not exaggerating it. It's so simple or I wouldn't do it. And it's helped me feel so much better, especially in the mornings. If there's one product that I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long and exclusively. They're the only product that I've allowed to have ads on this podcast because I believe in it so much. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/IHaveADHD. That's drinkag1.com/IHaveADHD. Check it out. I'm promoting you, Grace. So we chatted in Slack just a little bit. It's public for all to see. I think it's in the money channel, but would you like to share what's going on?
Yeah. So last year, this time, it was almost a year before that too. Anyway, when my father passed, my sister and I, we inherited an apartment building and we had a lot of arguments. I mean, it's all over Slack, our arguments and trying to just get through it. So we finally came to the conclusion that we're going to sell the building. And it just feels like, I mean, when I got the inheritance cash, I was like, oh my God, panic, because not used to having this kind of money, and I'm still the same person, not just, you know, so having all that cash and then selling the building with the decision being made, did I make the decision correctly? Should I have kept that building? Everyone's always told me invest in property. And then now I'm like, oh, sell the property? Why would I do such a thing? So I've just been struggling with the decision, you know, trusting that I made the right decision. And B, that I'll make the right decision when it comes to what to do with that influx of cash when it hits my bank account.
Yeah. Has it hit your bank account yet?
No, we closed on the 31st.
Just for clarity, did you first get an inheritance and then also you have this cash coming?
Yeah.
So this is double whammy. So like the inheritance money you do have.
Yes.
And you're staring at it like,
Yes, I have been staring at it for the past year going, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to buy those flowers, $30 flowers? Sure, no problem. Oh, don't worry. I got this. Like, and I'm like, no, you're going, like, this is not permanent. You are not like a Kardashian or whatever.
Yep.
It is not infinite.
Okay. So what do you feel would be most helpful to you in our conversation? Do you think it would be most helpful to talk about like the capacity to have money? Or do you think it would be most helpful to talk through how you want to like think about and use the money?
The latter.
Because the latter.
I'm so fearful of myself.
What are you afraid of, honey?
Well, that I'm like gonna spend it all, that I'm gonna make the right decision, that like, okay, so let's pretend that I don't know, like I move somewhere and then I buy a property or I don't buy a property. Like, what do I, who do I, how do I?
Okay, I think it's like, these are so valid. So what I want to say first is I spent most of my life not having money. And so if I go back to, let's say 10 years ago me, and if I were to hear Grace talk, my literal reaction would be, cry me a river. What do you think is the problem? I don't even know, like, why are you whining about this?
Well, and that's exactly what is, like, I've kept it so secretive because I don't want that kind of reaction. And, you know, the only people that I have said something, like half my friends don't even know that I had a permit over the past year.
Right.
And I like the only ones that do either already own their own properties or.
Right. Like, you feel like they're more equal in your position. Mm-hmm. I just want to validate that whenever there's a big change, our brain freaks out. Mm-hmm. So I like me saying that, like what I would have thought 10 years ago was not to cause you any judgment or shame. But to say, I did not understand how the change, how going from not having money to having money is the most uncomfortable thing in the whole world. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. And I will also say that one of the ways that we protect ourselves from that discomfort is we get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
which you don't want to do.
No, I want to make I've said it out loud. I don't trust myself.
Okay.
What
do you mean by that? What do you mean by that when you say, I don't trust myself?
I will have an ADHD moment and I will spend impulsively.
Okay. So I will spend impulsively. Mm-hmm. That's probably partially true. You have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
What other parts are adding to you not trusting yourself?
That I'll make the wrong decision on let's pretend I interview a finance person, but I'm just like, okay, I don't want to upset this person. So I'm going to commit to the people pleasing, you know, I'm going to people please. I'm going to commit to the wrong financial analysis, or, you know, I should have done it myself. And I know I don't like to should myself, but
sure.
I know I don't want to decide on a person to do it for me and spend it versus save it. Or versus using a robot. Maybe I could do it myself and I can be in control. And then there's that one branches off. So trusting I'll make the right decision on either the person or the robo analyst.
What did you say that last part? The what?
Robo analyst.
Oh, what's a robo analyst?
I didn't know what it was either until I met with somebody and she recommended it. And I was like, ooh, that's weird. It's kind of like an AI advisor that you never have any human contact with. You just chat with, and then you fill out a survey and it does it all for you.
I don't love that, but whatever floats your boat. Okay. So here's what I want to validate for you. I think that it is really healthy to look at your own weaknesses and say, I am not suited for this job.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk about building self-trust, I don't mean let's all be delusional and tell ourselves that we're amazing at whatever, you know, like, oh, I trust myself with time management. No, I never trust myself with time management. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we need to be delusional and pretend we're good at things that we're not good at. And so if you are looking at this and you're saying, hey, I am not equipped to handle this amount of money, like this is outside of my wheelhouse. Is it wheelhouse or wheeled house?
It's wheelhouse. Like the wheel is currently in the house.
There's a wheel in the house and I'm outside of it. Or this money thing, I just don't, we could do a whole rabbit trail on this. Okay.
Just not for us.
It's not for us. And I will raise my hand and say, same. It's not for me either. What I really, really would love to do is validate that and say, it's okay to recognize, to know yourself. A big, huge part of this course is knowing yourself. So what do you know about yourself that tells you that, let's do both sides, that you should have someone help you? And then we're going to say, what do you know about yourself that would say you should do it on your own? Okay, so let's start for having someone help us.
Having somebody help me, it takes that weight off my shoulders, that maybe the uncertainty, but I also feel like I would neglect, and I'm going back and forth now. So I'll just say on the one side, it'd just be mentally easier. That load wouldn't fall on me. They would kind of keep track of everything and be the people.
So what you know about yourself is that you get overwhelmed.
Yeah. Anytime there's a number involved, my brain, my body is just like.
How are you with nitty gritty details?
ADHD. I don't do
any
details.
Yeah. How are you with long-term planning?
I don't know how to do it. I don't even have retirement set up yet, and it's been a year.
For sure. So I just want to affirm, knowing yourself is a huge part of establishing trust. I know that I get overwhelmed. I know that I'm not, like, numbers don't do it for me. I know that I don't love long-term planning. Mm-hmm. I already know this about myself. Okay. So what about yourself though? Because there's this other part of you that's like, maybe I should do it myself. Mm-hmm. What do you know about yourself that says, I could do this? I'm not amazing.
I've taught myself to do taxes. I've taught myself how to, like,
I could figure it out. I figured millions of things out.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing it and figuring out everything on my own since.
Yep.
So why should I pass the buck? I hate that expression.
And what's the answer to that?
That's their job. Why not offload the things I'm not good at, like I would anything else, to somebody else? I'm a connector. I'm not a money analyst.
Ooh. Okay. So when your brain serves up that thought, I've done everything else myself, why wouldn't I do this too? Don't just leave it hanging. Answer it.
Okay, so I forgot. I taught myself lately, why can't I do that too?
Yeah, why wouldn't I just do that too? That's what your brain's wanting to say, right? Like,
yeah. I guess why can't I is, well, we just have the other reasons that I'm not detail-oriented.
Yeah. Sure.
And I don't appreciate the trust. But I also, like, how do I trust someone else?
Okay, so I think that there are some, let's just decide whether or not you want to trust someone else.
I mean, I just feel like it's easier to trust someone else than it is. Like, if I was to be like, oh, like, call my friend's dad and be like, hey, question, how do I, you know?
Right.
That kind of, like, someone else make the decision for me because I'm not capable of doing. But then I'll get mad.
Right. But, or who, like, what if we could set you up, and I don't mean we, because, like, I don't know, but, like, what if we could set you up with someone that you would trust to advise you? Not that they're making decisions, not that they're doing everything, but someone saying, from the looks of these things here, this much in taxes, this much in investing, this much in da-da-da.
I did do that.
Okay.
And I just went back and reread her email from May, it seems. I did meet with her. She broke it all down for me. But as she's like, if you still can't bite the bullet and doing the investing yourself, then let me know. And I'll name some people that I would trust with my own money.
Mm-hmm.
But she did break it down and said, okay, take X amount of money aside for 1 year, either invest in a property, do whatever, don't work for a year, and then figure everything else, but only use this amount and then invest this amount. Like, she broke it down into, like,
But before we even get to, like, the specifics, what I want to know is, do you want to do it yourself or do you want to have someone help you? Can we just start with that basic decision?
I think I want someone else to do it, but because I have read so much material and,
sure,
you know, this is not enough, keep bringing it to me, you know, that they make it sound like it's so easy that you could do it yourself to save that, like, that 1%.
Okay. Can we talk about saving the 1%?
It adds up.
Right. But, like, my question is that what you want to be doing with your time?
I guess
with your brain space. Are you passionate about it? Do you love it? Are you like, yes, this gets me out of bed in the morning. I am so into this. I love this. It fills me up.
No, it drives me nuts. And it just, like, it's just been lingering for the past year in the back of my mind every single day.
Okay. So stop. I'm going to sign a permission slip for you. You are allowed. You don't have to, but I'm just saying you're allowed to spend the 1% to free up your brain to do what you're meant to do.
Yes. So how do I...
Wait, just sit with it for a second. Do you see how fast you want to be like... Blah, blah, blah. You see that, y'all? Did you see it? Okay. We're going to go back.
Can, but...
We're going to stop just for a second. I'm going to repeat.
Okay.
You don't have to do anything that I'm suggesting, but I do want you to know that you are allowed to spend the 1% so that you can have the brain space to do what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. How does that feel in your body? Yeah. Tell me about the discomfort.
I just, so a million thoughts pop up of saying, well, one, you should be capable of managing your own money. Like,
what? Do you know that? No. I'm going to sound really elitist right now. I don't think really any wealthy people manage their own money. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
That should is toxic. If you want to, if it fills you up, if it gives you like life and energy, I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. But if it's, you should be, then that is some BS. That is not the voice that we are going to make decisions with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just breathe a little bit. Oh, sweetheart. Yeah.
It's that dirty little gremlin.
It is. And that's what this course is all about, is recognizing when it's just the toxicity talking or our actual intuition. Because there is a big difference. There's toxicity of like, you should be able to do this on your own. Who do you think you are that you are going to give 1% for what? Because you don't think you have the time to do it. You got plenty of time.
Exactly.
No.
And it's like, I'm constantly looking for something for me to do. It's like, I didn't want to sell, one of the things I didn't want to sell the apartment building was because it gives me something to do. And it's like, well, I don't have a job.
Like, I have nothing but time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So this goes to, how do you want to spend your time, Grace?
Well, as we all know, I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. But eventually, like I said, I want to go somewhere. But I that self-trust, like, how am I going to get a job? I can't keep a job. How can I get a job? Like, I can't give up the delivery of the subpoenas and the food truck and the little things that I do here because I can't hold down a job elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
This is deep. So instead of figuring out how to hold down a job, I'll just spend my time trying to figure out how to manage this money and do something that I don't really even want to do. But at least it's right here in front of me. And that voice in my head says, you should be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to feel the discomfort of, I would really like to have like a job.
Yeah. I've been either, I mean, even when I was laid off, I was like, nope, that's fired. That counts as fired. Into the bag it goes. Into the evidence bag. That's fired. This fired. They're like, nope, laid off. Like, you could still collect on that. Like, you can just go talk to these other people. They'll hire you.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, that's fired. That's fired. Yeah. Evidence. So I don't, like, I'm afraid to make a permanent move. So I keep entertaining myself with, okay, I've got this apartment building. That's, you know, that occupies time. Oh, I can't do that from around the world. Watch me. I can't do this. Watch me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's circle back. The job conversation is all, I just really invite you to kind of investigate that over the next couple of weeks, months, years. There's no rush. Look how young you are. Your forehead doesn't even have wrinkles yet. Let's just circle back to get still, drop into your body. Do you want to manage your money yourself or do you want someone else to do it for you?
I really don't want to do it myself.
Say it again.
I really just don't want to do it myself.
Valid. So immediately the gremlin in your head says, well, that's entitled. Well, you should do it yourself. Well, you have plenty of time, blah, 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 blah. And your job over the next day, days, weeks is to say, like, I hear you, but it's okay that I don't want to do it myself. Mm-hmm. Your job is to validate the fact that you don't want to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to do that for you.
I think that I've been avoiding meeting with all these, like doing, like conducting interviews.
Sure.
Because I don't know the answers up front. And if I don't know the answers, I won't have them in the interview.
Sure. Wait. Before we move on, your job is to hear yourself. I really don't want to do it myself. And to be your own bestie and say, girl, you don't have to. That's totally valid. And no matter what the gremlin in your head says, you do not need to listen to it. Okay. It can come in and go out. We could probably assign that voice to someone. And I have ideas in my mind of whose voice that is, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Okay. But there is a voice in your mind saying, wow, you should. And I just want you to be your own bestie and say, no, hey, stop it. Don't talk to her that way. She gets to decide what's best for her.
Trust that gremlin.
Say it again.
Trust that it's that gremlin.
Yes, because the whole point of this work that we're doing in this course is deciphering between the gremlin who says, you should, blah, 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 and your actual needs, desires, and intuition. We're pulling them apart and we're saying, this is the gremlin. This is so-and-so's voice. This is the voice of my third grade teacher. This is the voice of my narcissistic mother. This is the voice of my ex-boyfriend who was such a jerk to me. Okay. We've got those voices. And then we've got intuition. We have needs. We have desires. We have valid wants that you can be your own bestie and say, no. Hey. Stop it with the shoulds. What she wants matters. So I'm going to listen to her.
Be louder.
Yep. We're turning down the volume on the gremlin and we're turning up the volume on your legitimate, like your needs, wants, desires.
That is so uncomfortable.
Sweetheart. Where is the discomfort in your body? Yeah. Where's the discomfort actually, like point to where, yep, in your gut.
Yeah.
Because you for so long have been conditioned to listen to that gremlin thinking that it has your best interest in mind and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't. Also thinking that it's telling the truth and it's not.
Okay, so baby step is just listening to that. I don't want to do this.
That's it. Like that, if that's all you take from this conversation, that's enough. Because that's going to catapult you into doing what you do want to do and saying no thanks to what you don't want to do. There's not the pull back and forth. It's just like, no, I don't want to. And it doesn't even matter why. I'm a grown woman. I have options. Grace, you like, one of the best things that money does is it gives us options.
Yeah.
So don't forget that that is part of like the blessing of this is that you have options. Not everyone, like that is so far-fetched for so many people. And that's not to shame you at all. That's just to say, I want you to just remind yourself, you have options, you have options, you have options. You're a grown woman. You get to do what you want. And so when that gremlin voice comes in, you can say, just be your own bestie there. No, stop it. What are you doing? She gets to do what she wants to do. And if all you take is, I know that I don't want to do it myself, that catapults you into your next step.
It does.
Because there's going to be discomfort with every step. Because now the next step is like, well, how do I choose someone? Well, what do I say? Let me just give you and everyone else some tips when you're choosing service providers, whether it's with money or with like medical advice or whatever. And I know we're at the top of the hour. So if Anybody needs to go, no shame, no judgment. Absolutely no problem. You can catch the rest of the call at the replay. Some things that I want you to really keep in mind are, do you feel heard when you have a conversation? Mm-hmm. Are they really interested in what you want? Do you feel like you can be yourself? Like when I first started meeting with a financial planner, advisor, whatever, I was just like, listen, like I'm a lot and then I'm going to ghost you. You're going to have to chase me for those DocuSigns. I do not know anything about anything. I need you to put it in kindergarten language. I do not come from money. I don't know anything about money. Like, and I was just so upfront, so upfront. It establishes a relationship of like, they know what to expect. They know who you are. And if they can't handle it, that's a good filter.
Well, I think that's part of that fear is that I'm going to go to that meeting with, okay, this is who I am. And like you just said, like, okay, like you're going to have to hunt me down, but I'm going to be like, oh yes, I know everything. I have, oh yeah, I'm going to start dropping words that I think I know. Like I'm going to
have all this
dumb knowledge. And I'm like, oh wait, I don't actually know.
But you do have some knowledge that you can say, hey, I read this thing over here. What are your thoughts about it? Mm. Hey, I heard this thing on this podcast. What do you think about that? What would you do, you know, based on this person's recommendation? And it's kind of like going to a doctor. I want to really, really be specific about this. You know how sometimes you go to a doctor and you say, hey, I think I have ADHD. And some doctors will say, tell me everything. Why do you think that? Hmm. And other doctors will say, oh, you think so, huh? Well, I'm the doctor here and I will tell you what you have. Which doctor do you want to pick? Right? And so it's like that with bringing information. Like if your financial advisor is like, where did you hear that? That's stupid. I don't, like, you just leave this to me. Huge red flag.
Mm, yeah.
It's a really good filter.
I can walk away. I can trust myself that I can walk away.
And you can trust yourself. I can bring this to Slack and say, is this a red flag? Because this is what happened.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how to process it.
I'm not alone.
Hello. This work is done in community. It is so hard to build self-trust when you don't have people around you championing your trust. Like I believe you, Grace, that you don't have to do anything you don't want to do and that you are always going to figure this out. And so if you meet with someone and they're not a good fit and you sign with them, you're going to figure out eventually how to get yourself better, how to unsign all the things. You're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And the big part is I'm not alone and I can like I can trust to use this community that like I've been a part of for I don't know how long now.
So like, long.
Like, and they have my back. I mean, in a weird sense, we all have each other's back because we all know this feeling of like,
Yes. And we all know what it's like to go into a meeting, whether that's a medical meeting, a financial meeting, a parent-teacher meeting, and feel like a child. We all know what that's like. And we also all know what it's like to have healthy interactions and toxic interactions. And so if you were to come and say, here's kind of like what I remember of the conversation, here's what I felt, what are your thoughts? We can all give you feedback on like green flag, or no, red flag here, red flag here.
I think, okay. Yes. Yes. I'm not alone. And I think that's a big part of it is I'm so used to going into these things and being like, okay, I've got all this information. I can't tell anyone. I have to. No, someone will discover that I don't know what I'm talking about. I must keep this a secret, or I didn't like that. I got to keep that a secret because I could get in trouble or whatever. I got to keep this secret, but I can reach out to everybody, you know, this community and support. And like, Okay, I can trust.
Take a deep breath and tell me like what's happening in your body.
Now.
Yes, that was a lot of work.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you. You get to do what you want to do. We're going to turn down the volume on the gremlin and we're going to be turning up the volume on the bestie. And you're not alone. You're not going into this alone. You can post in Slack every hour of every day. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all over the world that are going to be awake at some point to give feedback. You can for sure use all of us as a sounding board. We have your best interest in mind. Adore you. Sending you back. Thank you. Thank you for bringing this. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Woo. All right. For those of you who are on this call, or even if you're watching the replay, my question to you is, what's your biggest takeaway? What's your takeaway from these conversations? Just kind of sit with yourself just for a minute, breathe in. Expand, and just kind of think through, what do I want to take from this? What is it that was meaningful? All right, let me read some of these answers and then we're going to close up. Just make sure you're regulating yourself and breathing. I can trust that I will do what's best for me when I want to. We always really know what we need. I'm not alone. I can take care of myself. I will always have my own back. So many times, what we think is the issue is actually just a cover for something much deeper. Turn up the voice of the bestie. I found my people. Aw, sweetheart. I'm not alone. I am unraveling the toxic thought knots. Amazing. I can make a decision because I want to, not because I should or shouldn't. Let the inner bestie voice speak up more often. Learning to rest in my own choices and not second guess. Keep coming back to the idea of I believe me. New strategies to pick service providers. Listen to myself. Do I want to do this? We aren't supposed to go through this alone and with a community who understands. Yes. I feel understood in this group even on day one. Oh, I need to get back to talking to everyone on Slack. Everyone here is my people. I keep forgetting that I'm not as alone as I feel. Yeah. I wonder if that message is for you, listener. You're not as alone as you feel. I know what it feels like to trust myself when I'm in an area that I'm confident about. Huge. My takeaway is that I really need to sit in the discomfort of painful emotions. That's a hard realization because, like, dang, that's not fun. But it is the pathway to healing. It is the pathway to improvement, I promise you. I know what I need, and I know how to take care of myself. I just need to listen to myself. I have a gremlin living in my head rent-free, and I think I need to stop feeding him. I learned that I'm not the only one who forgets to do things that they like to do. I feel really validated. I can ask for support from community when I need it. I need to know that I'm enough now, not only after weeks, months of panic mode perfectionism. All right, I wish I had time to read all of these, but I don't. I so appreciate your reflections. If anything came up for you that you have questions about, or if you need any support, please bring it to Slack and we would love to serve you. I can't wait to talk to you again soon. Bye.
A few years ago, I went looking for help. I wanted to find someone to teach me how to feel better about myself and to help me improve my organization, productivity, time management, emotional regulation, you know, all the things that we adults with ADHD struggle with. But I couldn't find anything. So I researched and I studied and I hired coaches and I figured it out. And then I created Focused for you. Focused is my monthly coaching membership where I teach educated professional adults how to accept their ADHD brain and hijack their ability to get stuff done. Hundreds of people from all over the world are already benefiting from this program, and I'm confident that you will too. Go to ihaveadhd.com/focused for all the details.